Mites and Mites podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Tights and Mites podcast. Tights and Mites.
Control. Now I got a lot of control to get what I want.
You know what the reference is. Come on,
like
right?
I don't like it. Don't use her for this.
I don't like it. I'm controlling my narrative, Danielle. I'm controlling my narrative.
You leave Janet out of this. She did nothing to deserve this.
No jumping.
Are you teaching a creative writing?
This is an exercise. I want you all to go off, spend a half an hour writing about a time you controlled your narrative.
Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm from parts Lubknown, I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the Treat Prophet, Danielle Radford.
Oh yeah, I will take that 100%.
And the 1-2 tea kid, Lindsay Kelk.
I just had some delicious tea.
What did you have? An oolong?
I had a PG Tips.
Sure.
Oh, I love a PG
which
Tips.
Is just a standard black tea, but imported, which sounds fancier, that I got from the shop around the corner.
I bought an electric tea kettle. I'm on that wave. I'm too old for coffee now. I'm a tea gal now.
Good. But I'd be able to interject before you introduce me.
Yes,
is that
please.
Okay?
Please do.
Yes,
so.
We'll allow
please
it. Sure.
Because Lindsay drinks tea. Mm-hmm. How do you pronounce rubius, roibus? What is that?
Oh,
tea?
We don't fuck with that. That's not from us.
But
that's nothing
you,
to do
how
with
do you
us.
Pronounce it. You don't
I
even
refuse
come
to find out.
Yep.
I refuse to. Refused to know.
It's the Macbeth of teas.
Yes. It's the tea that shall not speak its name. Okay. I don't know. You know how we feel about tea in England. It's like either tea or it's not tea.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like we don't know herbal tea, none of this nonsense. You might get a peppermint tea away in that London and only in that London. It's tea or it's not tea. I don't fuck with
Camille and tea. I'm German, so that is very much like, oh, it's like very cozy. That's what you drink when you're sick. And also, when you want to talk about the Scottish play, that is how we in America, you wouldn't know this because you're Canadian, RJ, that is what we call Big Macs. We call them the Big Scottish Play.
Oh, you guys must be a riot. You know, going to the drive-thru, making theater jokes. This sounds great.
They love it. They love it. Little known fact, everyone that works on a drive-thru was a theater major.
Yeah. I hope you're leaving your ghost light on when you shut down. They love that. They just love it. Lindsay, I know I have places to be, but you got so intensely British talking about tea. Like, you went to a different place. You're like, you had the shop around the corner, and then over there, the London, if you got over the peppermint tea. Like, I didn't even...
I don't know what accent that was. I refused to acknowledge that as well.
It was real. It was very good.
It was very good.
It was
so good. Just trust me. It was real good. Guys, it's that time of year again. It's Max Fun Drive, where we lift up the Max Fun members on our shoulders to thank them for helping make this show possible.
And we make sure we give them all great gifts.
I love gifts. Gifts are so good.
Yeah, we like to give out gifts. It's so much fun.
Yes, and being a member is important not only because of the gifts, but because you're actually supporting the artists and art that you enjoy. For a small amount every month, I think it's well worth it.
Totally. This is the one time of year that we put a lot of energy into trying to communicate to you how important you are to us and how important your donations and your support is to keeping our shows on air. Without Max Fun Drive and without you guys helping us out, without you supporting the shows, there is no Tights and Fights. I mean, this is really the moment where the Nation of Conversation comes together and we make magic happen. We make magic happen, baby.
We're so grateful to everybody who was able to break off a few bucks for us every month. But even if, hey, we understand stuff's still rough, I don't know if y'all know this, but we are still in the middle of a panty.
If you are able to commit to a monthly donation, and we will love you all the same. But if you are, there are so many ways that you could join, upgrade, or boost your membership, or you can buy a gift membership for a friend or an anonymous Max Funster. If you want to become a Max Fun member and keep the show going for as little as $5 a month, go to MaximumFun.org/join.
That's MaximumFun.org/join. Don't forget to check the box for Tights and Fights to make sure that we benefit directly from your membership.
And one of our favorite things to do every year around this time is bring our special wrestle friends to party with us. You know him from his new talk show on AEW to his new Whatever Happened to Babyface character on YouTube. It's wrestling raconteur RJ City. Welcome back, RJ.
Now, can I point out a real serious issue that's Merv Griffin and wrestling related?
Sure.
Please.
I want an open call to your fans because it is serious, and an open call to any of you if you guys can help. There is an episode. Oh, sorry. It's not Merv. I apologize. I messed up. It's Mike Douglas. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. I mean, do it. Do okay. it.
Okay. Let's
do
I got it. Off on no, the wait. Wrong foot. They're like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. There is an episode of the Mike Douglas show where Mike Douglas and a wrestler named, I believe, Chris Taylor wrestle, and I swear to God, Jerry Lewis and Andre the Giant. There is a ring on the beach. I have seen photos. I have seen video clips. I have been unable to find the full episode. And yeah, I contacted the Paley Center. They have not answered me back, okay? So don't give me this. If anyone has any sort of contact, I believe Mike Douglas is sitting on it, the Douglas estate.
Yeah.
You know, because they know I'm coming for them. So if anyone can help, that would be much appreciated.
They're just driving the price up.
Yep.
That's what's happening here.
Look, mayday, mayday, all ships at sea, you know?
Yeah. It's in the same vault as The Day the Clown Cried. They put them together.
Though, which it'll is be released. Coming out soon.
Yes. So no, you should no. get access yeah. to the footage soon.
I'm proud of like the way I've worked. You know, people like climbing the corporate ladder?
Yeah.
I've worked my way into knowing people who have seen it. That's what I consider like I'm amongst the elite.
Would you say this is your holy grail of it's not even found footage? You know what you're looking for.
And I've read the script.
Oh my
no.
God.
What are we talking about? The Mike Douglas match or The Day the Clown Cried?
Both. At
both?
This point.
Yeah. I mean, I know what I'm getting into, but it still needs to be. I need to sit down, lights down. I would throw my phone across the street. I cannot be disturbed during this.
No, they were supposed to do a reading of The Day the Clown Cried a few years ago. I think Bob Odenkirk tried to put it together and it got shut down. Like they yeah. are intensely watching out for it. But again, now it's, what is it? It's got to be in the next 2-3 years, right?
My favorite part was like, oh, this is a horrible film and blah, 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 blah. Funny guy in the Holocaust and blah, blah. And then they were like, Life is Beautiful. What a movie. We love this.
That, yep, that's exactly. Yep, yep, yep. That's
my favorite. Remember when the Hollywood fell in love with that guy for like a week?
Mm-hmm.
He was so enthusiastic.
You're crazy. And then they were like, you've never heard from him again. No, he was in a remake of Pinocchio with John Cleese.
I yes, believe. He was. RJ, tell us about your new AEW YouTube show, Hey EW.
How can I explain it? They said, yeah, you can come do this. And I said, really? Are you sure? And they said, yeah. And it was one of those weird things where I was like freaking out and I was like, oh, I'm going. It was like starting high school all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I basically knew everyone already. So it's very weird. And then it's like Danhausen and it's me and Danhausen's the first episode. And we have no script. We have no outline. And we both feel weird about it because it's like, this is the same stuff we did like in a Legion Hall on my phone. And it's and you're like, why change it up now?
Hello. And welcome to Hey EW. I am RJ City. My guest, Danhausen. Hey.
Do I say hello to you or to the camera?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Ew.
Okay, I don't even.
What are these? Nice shoes.
They're Cole Haan and they weren't cheap.
It's been really weird. No one has wanted to see my script.
Really?
No one has given me any notes. So if you don't like it, it's entirely my fault. And if you like it, I guess I'll take some responsibility. It's been incredibly weird. It's one take. We're usually doing it while they're about to film the more important actual wrestling shows. So we'll pull people in, like Eddie Kingston, for example, and say, "Hi, you ready to do this?" And he says, "Yep." And it's like truly, truly like one take. We do not have the time to get anything else accomplished, which is great and weird. And of course I go through the pains of filming something and then hating it. And every time I film something, I'm like, you guys should just be, if you could burn this tape, it's horrible, you know? And then when I come back, people are like, hey, why haven't you had me on your show? as if I am now Mike Duckless.
I would assume WWE is probably a lot more hands-on in terms of this is what's okay, this is what's not. Like, you have more boundaries in terms of what you're playing with, as opposed to going off on your own and saying, all right, we're gonna freewheel this. Do you prefer that freedom, or is it, or does that, because I know exactly what you're talking about, of watching something back or listening to something back afterwards and going, I don't know what I was thinking. I wish I had planned it out. But sometimes it's better to not have planned it out. Which do you prefer?
I will say, credit to the people who had hired me at WWE, who no longer even work there, but they really rarely gave me notes either. They were very, and that's, I think, the joy of being in your own world is that no one knows how to address it. I don't think they knew what notes they could give me. The main difference is WWE is like working for the government. There's like a department for everything. There's too many, and it takes so much, like, and you guys know, and this is totally normal. It's like working for a big network or a big movie studio where what you saw of my WWE work is like a tenth at best of what I had pitched and worked on. And it was a tremendous amount of work to get that. What you've seen at AEW is what I've pitched. They've just been like, sure. And I'm like, really? I just come and I write. And I'm like, what? Sounds good. Which is, they have the right amount of people to get stupid things accomplished. And I mean that in the best way possible.
It's just like us. That's perfect. Amazing. Do you have a dream get? That's who I want to know. Who are you trying to get on the show? And preferably someone that doesn't want to do the show, but who would you really like to get?
So the joy of it for me has been being able to waste people's time.
Sweet.
So the, you know, the more legitimate someone is in my mind, and it's a tribute where it's like, hey, I want to sit with you and, you know, bother you. So there are a bunch of people on my list that I'm slowly working towards and strategizing. Oh, if I have a good interview with this person, maybe he'll say, oh, it was fine, it was fun, and then he'll do it. But to me, the ultimate waste of time on an AEW show would be Tony Shalhoub.
The ultimate heel move.
I can't think of one better person to sit in that seat.
Yeah. You know what? Let me see what I can do. I might be able to.
It would be one of the great joys of my life.
Yeah, like match minute with Monk. I'd watch that.
Yeah. Just to say, and wrestling's going on in the background, he's saying, what am I doing here? And he goes, you know, tell me about Paulie.
I want that for you.
I should have set better goals. You ever achieve your goals and you're like, this is it? Yeah. I could have been a doctor or something. What a show. No.
So what else do you have on your punch list or your goal list? Like, where else are you going? I talked about it like you're Tim the Toolman Taylor. I figured you'd appreciate that.
I'm working on a variety of things and pitches. And we seem to be doing more with AEW, which is fantastic. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Babyface.
Where are the babyfaces? Someone you can relate to, look up to, and pull for. Sure, I'll be a babyface. What's the big deal? How hard can it be? You raise your arms, you say, come on, and they come. They don't know where they're going, but they come. I'm a babyface.
We've all seen it because we like your work.
Well, I think babyface will be wrestling in some form, maybe probably at an indie show at some point soon. I'm having new babyface gear made. I wonder if that will translate to a normal indie wrestling audience. My guess is no. So I'm looking forward to that.
Have you seen what indie wrestling... Look, we like weird shit. And like, this is like very... if you haven't seen Babyface, it's very like a throwback to like old school movies and like those ideas. Yo, I think that people will really get into it.
But sometimes I will do certain crowds and towns and I will make certain jokes and they'll see a look on the faces like, listen, can you just hit somebody in the chest, please, and make a slap sound? Because that's what we came for. If you could just do that as quickly as possible, that would be great.
On the upside, you always can.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, which is
Isn't
nice. Because, like, I can't just go and chop someone if I'm having a bad day at work. Like, So I really love that you do have that option.
Wrestling is a comedy show where the punchline is always final.
A legit punchline. I love it. Like, I wish, like, the rest of us are always like, oh, tap, 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 tap. I'm making my Tyrannosaurus arms because that's what tapping looks like in my brain. Tap, 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 tap. R's and they's and alliteration and blah, blah, blah. Then we write something at the end. We don't get to punch anyone if it doesn't work.
Super frowned upon.
Is there a part of you, RJ, where when stuff doesn't land like that, that there's still like a joy to be had? Because you are who you are. Like, you take it everywhere. And that's sort of the beauty of it. Even if an audience doesn't get it, you know how to use that to your advantage. So are there times where, like, do you know, looking out at a crowd, like before even the show begins, I think there's a decent chance there that this is going to hit differently?
Sometimes I do. My friend Abdnug, who's a wonderful comedian, said about me, the great thing about me is that people think it's an act.
Mm-hmm.
So I've built this little wall for myself where it's like, oh, if I come out and I'm doing a show in Detroit talking about Ethel Merman, the fact that these people don't know who Ethel Merman is part of it.
Right.
And my exasperation and my frustration that they don't, and that they would rather see some guy with contact lenses he got at Party City.
I do love that guy.
Does fundamentally bother me. So I guess it does come from that a place.
Yeah.
Wow. Your therapist must have like a lot on. I
do you know how hard it is, you know how difficult it is for like wrestlers to accurately explain themselves to their, I was like 3 months in just laying the groundwork of wrestling.
So you have your persona, but your persona is heavily based on you.
Yeah.
And you have to maintain a level of kayfabe. You've explained that to me last week. I've got that. That's in my notes. Like, I mean, that, mm-hmm. yeah. They're earning their money, and that's what's important. It's important to be challenged in your job, and I love that for them.
Thank God that you, like, live in Canada, because if you lived in America and you're trying to, like, explain this to therapists, they're like, oh, well, we have run out of the $5,000 you had. And it's like, well, I've only done, like, 3 sessions. It's like, I know, but sorry.
I had a therapist once who I think was a little more of a life coach.
Oh,
was, like, a real, like, let's get up and continually use the phrase, you're going to be a rock star. We're going to make you a rock star. And I finally had to say, first of all, I listen primarily to Paul Simon. So number two, I can't think of anything more, you know, decrepit and sad than a rock. I can't think of one rock star that I would ever aspire to be right now.
Oh, you're going to be Mick Jagger. You're going to be that guy.
Whoa. Yeah. I just think of like horrible family lives and desperate career moves and
unfulfilling relationships. I mean,
last minute licensing deals. I don't stop comparing me to these people.
I mean, are you going to sell your back catalog? That's what we need to know. That's what they want to know.
Hold on to your publishing. Hold on to it. It's going to make you money later on. When we talk about therapy, something my therapist has said that I carry all the time is things that get repressed get expressed. So if you hold on to things and think you don't actually deal with it and process it and move through it, it's going to come out sideways. It strikes me that for you, something you said about taking that actual frustration, can wrestling sort of have a therapeutic value if you're taking things and working through them as long as you're aware of it? Or is it,
No. And I think this is a very important distinction, and I'm happy that I'm making it amongst you who are all in the creative arts.
Please.
Really, really have to hammer home the difference between therapeutic and an outlet.
Sure.
Wrestling is an outlet. Going to the gym when you're angry is an outlet. Is not going to solve your problems.
No.
But a lot of people will look to the things they're doing. Or, you know, worse, the old trope of the comedian who's troubled, but he needs the trouble to be successful on stage. Yeah. It's like, that's not, you're just lazy. And I have learned that, you know, I've been through that. And it doesn't help. Oh, I'm frustrated. Oh, I broke up. Oh, bad relationship. I'm going to all of a sudden get really funny. It doesn't work. You're like, maybe these are two separate things and they require two different skill sets. So I always get, especially when I see you know, wrestlers talk about wrestling as therapy. I go, no, no. Let me tell you about therapy, my friend. You may be very interested in that. If you think wrestling is therapy.
Yeah.
You would really enjoy real therapy. We should get everyone BetterHelp vouchers for Christmas. That's what we'll do. That's what we'll do.
having said all that, it is such a joy to speak to wrestlers. And they're in therapy and I'm in therapy, or we could share problems and trade problems, and they're like dealing with stuff. Mm-hmm. It is so nice. There is an odd openness in wrestling that you just have with the people because of how you're working with them, that you're able to share things. That has been nice to me. The wrestlers who understand the difference.
Sure. Is there more therapy than we would think, or less therapy than you would like, or both?
I happen to be surrounded by some good people who understand that. And I also think I make a point about talking about certain aspects of that stuff publicly. Mm-hmm. So I feel people are more comfortable sharing it with me. So I maybe attract those people, or not attract them, but certain people feel open talking about that. So I think there's a healthy amount. There could always be more.
Sure, of course.
I mean, just imagine if the Bone Street crew had been to therapy. They could have just sat backstage playing their dice, chatting about what the developments they made this week.
Dominoes aren't therapy.
That's but they're a great outlet. Fantastic outlet. I'm interested what you're watching right now. What old school stuff? What are you digging through?
I will say I've been watching a lot more Mid-South wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun to see Ted DiBiase and Paul Orndorff, and they would just work at a really nice pace. Yeah. There are people I binge.
Mm.
Playboy Buddy Rose is one. Adrian Adonis is another guy. Really, guys who did not look like athletes.
Sure.
And then were so fantastic and just wonderful. And I'm always a Nick Bockwinkel guy. Any new Nick Bockwinkel I find, I will enjoy. I just watched a supercut of Ernie Kovacs.
Oh.
He did like little blackouts, visual gags, and it was just like scrolling through TikTok. It was the exact same thing. And I was like, well, this makes everything feel really stale right now.
It's so bizarre to me to think of somebody. Ernie Kovacs is a great example, who was wildly famous. Mm. And now we're in an age where you can't achieve that kind of fame. There are too many choices for even far before the internet. There were so many cable chat. Like, to have either a hit show or to be a famous person doesn't mean what it meant a long time ago. You don't have that level of celebrity. Maybe in music a little bit, because that can work internationally, but you don't have movie stars that are that famous, or TV shows or comedians that are that well known around the world anymore. And I feel bad for people who didn't get to experience some of that growing up, because I feel like we were the last generation to really get a taste of that.
I feel like I'm drawn to those older celebrities because they felt like giants. Mm-hmm. The landscape is gigantic now.
Yes.
So now everything is bigger, where you can have 5 million views and people do not know who you
yes.
are. It's totally, you know, and I also, they do the classic, I'll always get the, who are you, like on Twitter. And it's like, I don't have time to explain the fragmented media landscape to you.
Yeah.
Of like how I did stuff and how you still don't know, but how that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, sorry, like go back to watching four channels. Find me on the Dumont Network. Like, what do you want from Nikki?
No, I was going to say there's like almost a caste system to celebrity. But now even to be at the top level doesn't mean what it meant, exactly because of the fractured media landscape. Mm. So you have people
yes.
like Charli D'Amelio, who my father doesn't know who she is. I barely know.
Yes.
But she is real, real famous. It's it's blows my, like, how do I not know these people who are famous?
Fame, it's just less significant now. But also, perhaps, is a byproduct of democratization through technology, in the sense that you can put a video on YouTube the same way that, you know, well, anyone else technically, theoretically could. Everyone has a, no, Danielle is shaking her head.
My name is RJ. I'm being very smart. Like, what are you?
You want to know what my major was? It was culture and entertainment.
Ah,
yeah, see? There you go.
There it is.
So I got to write about this. They said, you can come back and do your master's on it. And I said, I mean, I could also not, and then just like still maintain the same arguments.
Well, 10 years later, you could appear on the Tights and Fights podcast and share your knowledge.
Yeah.
That's what you should have told them. That's what you should have said.
That?
Take that,
but no, that's the... and I'm comparing the use of celebrities today in wrestling to where it was, you know, like Muhammad Ali, or, I mean, WrestleMania 1 is like Mr. T, Muhammad Ali, Liberace, Cyndi Lauper.
All right, moments away. The ladies' title up for grabs. Cyndi Lauper, Wendi Richter, a big one for you.
That's right, Mean Gene. Shmula, Lanny Carr, you better watch out, because these are powerful words, because this is a powerful woman, and I'm a powerful manager now, because I was taught by Captain Lou Albano just how to manage.
Take those four and how distinct they are and how culturally significant they are and compare them to the celebrities used in the last WrestleMania, and it's not a knock on those celebrities. That cultural significance does not exist anymore. It's not possible.
In just a minute, we're going to take a look at the history of celebrities in wrestling. But before we do that, we've got to tell you why now is the time to sign up and become a Max Fun member as part of the Max Fun Drive. So Max Fun Drive is what makes Max Fun shows happen. This network is artist-owned, but listener-supported, and that is a huge deal, especially for a show like ours.
All memberships at $5 a month or more get the bonus content access, which we're going to tell you a little bit more about. Very exciting.
And there are actually hundreds of extra episodes across all your favorite Max Fun shows. This year, we brought on Janet Varney, the host of the JV Club, to talk all about Cesaro's entrance music from over the years. How much fun was it to introduce Janet, who had barely watched any wrestling, to the world of wrestling? Just give us a taste, Danielle. What was it like in the room?
Janet is such a like naturally open and curious person. She has this face she gets when she's genuinely delighted by things, and it will light up your entire day.
And when you become a member or you boost or upgrade your membership at MaximumFun.org/join and you click the Tights and Fights box so that we benefit directly from your recurring contribution. Not only do you get a lot of great gifts from the network, but we have show-specific goals. If you help us meet these goals for our show, you're going to unlock special content and gifts exclusively for the Nation of Conversation. Here's the first one. At the 50-member level, that's 50 members who either join or boost or upgrade, we will do another one of These Are Our Main Events episodes where we give you the book to tell us what questions we should talk about. If you listen to our show and go, boy, they should do a main event about X, Y, or Z, this is your opportunity to make that happen. And all we have to do is reach 50 new boosting or upgrading members to get there.
And if we reach 100 new boosting or upgrading members, we are going to try to secure one of our favorite recurring guests, Cookie Sean, in to reenact, sort of do a replay for you of one of his most iconic promos. Will he bring some other Muppets? Will he bring some other Sesame Street characters? I can't say, but if we get to 100 new boosting or upgrading members, we are gonna try really hard to make that happen. I know he's really busy right now, so it's hard to get him in at this moment, but guys, think about that.
And at 150, yo, y'all know this is like my favorite thing, listener-selected WWE Films commentary track. The Marine 1 through 7, that's what I am, the chaperone. Come on, I've seen all of these. I want to do a live commentary track, mostly because, like, I really find it entertaining to make Hal and Lindsay like talk
we
about
love talking
stuff.
About stuff. It's gonna be great.
It just
please
makes
get
me...
us there. Yeah. Get us there.
Since WWE bought WCW, I would say that Ready to Rumble is on the table for
that. You're so smart.
Yes. Oh no,
let's,
it's on
let's
the table.
Let's talk about what happens at 200 new upgrading or boosting members. At 200 people, we will do a live wrestling pay-per-view commentary where we all broadcast over Zoom. We will take call-ins and questions for the entirety of an upcoming pay-per-view. We're going to do an upcoming pay-per-view. We're not going to go into the vault.
Going live.
Oh, wow. Julia.
Yo, live, baby.
I mean.
Oh, my goodness. I misread this, and it's getting bigger than I could have ever imagined. But I think to do a live commentary on a show as it's happening, have you get involved and do it with us? It doesn't get any better than that. That is the ultimate ascension of the Nation of Conversation.
Is it Great Balls of Fire? I know it isn't.
It's always Great Balls of Fire.
Why won't they bring it back? I mean, screw Evolution. I want to do a live commentary track to Great Balls of Fire 22. But I guess SummerSlam would do. I guess it would do.
It might not be WWE. We don't know what pay-per-view it'll be. It could be anything. It could be anything.
It could be control your narrative, people.
Please.
Don't do that to our
force
listeners.
Force us to watch wrestling at a specific time. See what happens. Oh, that's sorry. At 200.
The numbers are falling. Sorry, it won't be control your narrative. I'm sorry.
The tick is going back up. The tick is going right back up.
Other numbers have come in. We are now trending on truth. Anyway, go to MaximumFun.org/join. Create a membership. Boost your existing membership. When you are creating your recurring monthly contribution, they're going to ask you the shows that you listen to. The contributions and memberships that support Tights and Fights are the reason why we're still here. And that's not hyperbole. Go to MaximumFun.org/join right now while you're thinking of it. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelt
and
Ol Roma Jr.
Every week, we like to give one corner of wrestling some extra attention. This is our main event.
Let's get ready to rock.
Oh! Anal bleeding.
Whoa! Holy shit!
WWE Dynamite.
I love cake. I hate ducks.
And a hard-fought victory.
Live, Hal.
What?
Thank you, Nyla Rose.
Thank you.
So good.
Cake.
It gets better and better every month.
Oh, my Lord. So we just got done with WrestleMania, which had a surprising amount of celebrities in major matches on the card. This continues a proud tradition in wrestling of bringing famous people on to have a good time and hopefully bring new eyes on the shows. RJ, you have wrestled your arch nemesis, David Arquette. How did it feel putting that together versus having a match with another wrestler? Although David Arquette, I mean, what was that like?
No, he wasn't, and he could have trained a lot more.
Sure,
really.
sure.
You know, when we first talked about wrestling, I was like, oh, well, if we start at, we met at WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans, and I thought, well, we could drag this out and do it at the next one. You know, that way you can train and we could really do something and build a feud. And then he was like, nope, here's the show. I was like, what? How? What is wrong with you? And he was training on the run because he was also filming movies and doing other stuff. And Peter Avalon was training him. And I was texting him like, what does he know? You know, maybe you can teach him this, kind of teach him this. I mean, it's almost like writing for someone who's doing a roast, who's not a comedian, right, as opposed to that person becoming a comedian. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
100%.
Like, totally. You're like, you can practice these jokes.
So he was not ready to rumble.
He was not ready to rumble. Oliver Platt was, well, they did that movie, and then he decided he wanted nothing to do with anything wrestling related after that. I enjoyed the challenge of, give me what you can do and let's make the best story out of this. Especially going into it, we didn't know he was already injured. We didn't know if that was the last match he was going to have or not. So it was kind of like, this could be the ending of the documentary. It could be something else. And then he learned how to wrestle somewhat. He started figuring it out a lot more and relaxing when we were teaming and we had kind of a set, you know, whatever, like, this is what we're doing. This is the routine. And then we can kind of improvise around it. That's when he started learning a lot more. But putting that match together was fun. It's easier with limited people because you have this skill set of like, I do these five things. And it's like, okay, now how can we, it's not necessarily easier. It's simpler.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Sure. You already know where you're going.
Yes. Roddy Piper brought this up to me. He watched a match of mine once and he said, you're too friendly. When you wrestle, you have to wrestle your style and you have to make the person wrestle your own style. When you're feeding for people and when you're, you know, maybe it was a lucha guy and this would like running the ropes, like helping with a lucha spot. And he's like, don't do that. That's not you. And then he's like, you know, you never see Steve Austin doing that. And it's like, oh yeah, you don't. And that's maybe the difference between a good actor and a movie star. When you see a movie star in the traditional sense, you know what kind of movie you're getting. Yeah. They really don't act. You know, they're not character actors. They're almost bad actors in a sense. Similarly, like a Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, Austin, The Rock, it was almost like the worse they got, the more popular they became.
Sure, because there's a predictability. I know the things I want to see. I know I want to see rock bottom. I want to see people's elbow. I want to see the eyebrow go up. I remember being in a bar in Philadelphia once. Where I went solely to eat appetizers and watch a pay-per-view. And there was a the most Philly guy in the world sitting at the bar, and he's talking to me. He's like, all I want is for the Undertaker to come out and give tombstones with his eyes rolling back in his head. He didn't care. Like, he didn't say, I want a technical masterpiece and a story well told from beginning to end. He wanted to see the moves he liked.
It's very much, it reminds me of, like, while we talk about, like, TV and, like, the way that stuff works, they call it the Flanderization of, like, TV characters. So when you think of something like Family Matters, where it's like, oh, you know, we liked when Urkel would show up and he would be like a weirdo, and then the more the show would keep going, it would be like, oh, well, Urkel is like a weird sexual harasser that likes cheese. Oh, now he's really into science. Oh, now he's like a science, like he's drinking potions and like putting himself into like this weird thing. Oh, now he's an astronaut. Like, you want to see the things you want them to do, and you don't care about like the complex things that led to that part of the character, if that makes sense.
And let me just go on record as saying Joe Marie Payton got fucked. That show was supposed to be about her. It was a spinoff from Perfect Strangers. She was the elevator attendant.
Yes.
And she had every right to leave the show in its last season because that was bullshit.
Yes.
Go ahead. Carry on.
I completely agree. Right. I am also, look, I love that they have made a reconciliation. I'm not going to get into the discourse about Will Smith right now, but I will say I love that the two Aunt Vivs are buds, but I'm dark-skinned Aunt Viv all the way. Sorry.
So when it comes to celebrity and wrestling crossovers, I'd love to hear everybody's favorite for whatever reason. Could be favorite because it's great. Could be favorite because it's bad. I don't even think they have to have wrestled a match. I'll start. I'll make it easy. I'm still kind of blown away, and you cannot do today what Andy Kaufman was doing in the early 80s or even the late 70s. And the fact that it came from an actual love of wrestling as an art form and how well that dovetailed with what he did, his sort of like Dada version of comedy, it always blows me away. Like, he knows how to be a heel. He knew how to play to the crowd. And he managed to put a national spotlight on wrestling before Vince McMahon did.
All I want is an apology. Even you asked me last time I was on your show if I was going to have a
that's
lawsuit,
right,
and I could have sued you. I could have sued you for everything you're worth. Well, and I didn't, because I'm not that kind of a guy.
Yeah. You know what?
What kind of a guy are you?
I'll just be over here. We're going to pause here for station identification and get the hoses out here.
Two things that are important about that is that he tried to give it to Vince Sr. And Vince was like, nope, this is weird. Go back to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. When he was in Memphis, he stayed there for like a year and a half. It's all on YouTube. And it's more than just, I mean, the echo of it now is Lawler, Pile Driver, and then they're on Letterman, and that's it. And it's like, no, he turned baby, and then he turned heel again. And like his agents, George Shapiro, was like, please stop this. You're ruining your career. And he kind of did.
Yeah. But it's brilliant. All the promo work, but just everything. I always love when I see a celebrity involved and I go, they understood the assignment. Mm. That's like the greatest thing I think any performer can do. Mm-hmm. Actor, singer, wrestler. He understood probably on a better level than most other celebrities, maybe any other celebrity, what the assignment is in pro wrestling, especially for that time. And he, like everything else he did, never let on that he was part of an act. He never wanted you to know. And I think that worked really well. And the timing of it is perfect. He couldn't do that today if he were alive. It wouldn't work.
Yeah. I feel like there are two celebrities, wrestlers that I talk about all the time, and I have to mention it or people will scream at me on the internet, and I hate when they do that. Obviously, my favorite wrestler, Bad Bunny, who bless him. But it's the same thing, right? Like, not to the same degree. He hasn't quit the music business. I'm like, fuck it, going to move to Memphis for a year and a half, turn heel. But he like, I hate saying it, but he understood the assignment. Mm-hmm. He took it really seriously. Mm-hmm. He committed to doing a really good job, and he did. And I do admire him for it. I can only assume it must be for people who don't watch wrestling. I've talked to a couple of people who love him as a musician who didn't believe me, and then I had to show them the clips. And I tried to explain to them, because that person actually plays into what we were just talking about. That person loves the Fast and the Furious movies, like, unironically, obsessively loves them. And I'm like, but think of this as, like, wrestling is a genre movie. When we talk about those wrestlers, like you were saying, RJ, like, they get bigger and then their moveset gets smaller and it all becomes very predictable. They turn into a genre movie to an extent. And I feel like it must have been, like, appearing in Fast and the Furious for people when it gets to like that. He must have, like, been losing his tiny mind, and I loved it. And then, because I say it every time, and justice for her, justice for Snooki, who worked really hard.
Snaps.
And she
all
did
around.
The gymnastics, and she did the handsprings, and she showed us her cheerleader past.
Mm-hmm. Trish Stratus, she trains me so good. I'm ready to go to WrestleMania. I have sick moves, and I'm ready to bring on Lay Cool and Vicky. Yeah. So bring it on.
It should be shown more often, and people should be talking about it. Justice for Snooki.
Justice for Snooki.
Justice for Snooki.
Misogyny, I'm telling you. Misogyny keeping that girl down.
Clearly. Danielle?
I feel like I bang this drum at least once a year. I've been banging it as long as... Oh, gosh, we've been doing this since, like, 2016.
It's been a really long time.
It's always Cyndi Lauper. It's always Cyndi Lauper. It will never not be Cyndi Lauper for me. Her contribution to televised wrestling, no matter, like, where you fall on the thing, like, I'm sorry, without Rock and Wrestling, without all of that stuff, without her, because she wasn't just, like, a celebrity that showed up. She was legitimately, like, a manager. MTV used to show music videos. I know that that's, like, a cliche thing to say, but, like, MTV did used to show videos. That was, like, the thing. And, like,
you didn't always have Teen Mom. Didn't always have it.
I want to see Rue Raiders with Lou Albano and Cyndi Lauper.
Look at all these rubber bands. It must be an accountant or some
just
papers.
Like that many trips down the stairs. Oh, bad. But so, yeah, like, it was one of those things where it was like, we are very excited, I think, for more celebrity stuff now, because the people they are inviting, look, love them or hate them, I don't like that dude, but Logan Paul, like we've said, got the fucking assignment. Bad Bunny, I do love, got the fucking assignment. Back in the day, Cyndi Lauper got the assignment, and like, she and her era really genuinely, and that's why I'm always like, why isn't Cyndi Lauper in the Hall of Fame? And every year I yell about it, and I used to think that, like, oh, well, maybe they invited her and she didn't want to come. And then a couple years ago she was like, they never invited me. And like, what the fuck are you even talking about? Like, that's wild to me. Mm-hmm. Cyndi Lauper's good enough.
No,
she is, and we knew then that she had acting chops. We didn't have to wait to see Vibes, which I saw in the theater. Everybody enjoy the Cyndi Lauper, Jeff Goldblum. Why were they not? They should have been the Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan of a generation. RJ, what about you? I'm sure you've watched. I'm excited to hear what you're going to say.
There have been plenty throughout the history of wrestling. Bob Hope did charity matches with Gorgeous George, like comedy stuff like that. Babe Ruth did. Obviously, Muhammad Ali did his stuff. The one person who I felt understood the assignment beyond what the company could even offer him was Dennis Rodman.
You're not wrong. Holy crap. Yeah,
we could have kept him out of Korea. We could have kept him out of Korea.
Yeah.
He was skipping Chicago Bulls practices to come just hang out, like, be in the NWO. This wasn't even, like, you know, a stunt one-off like Leno. Like, he was just into it. He also had, like, a much more modern athletic body, where it was still the end of, like, the bulky 80s gut mm-hmm. with abs. And but he was big, he could move, he was smooth, and he had, I mean, real life heat.
Yes.
He was bothering people, like, you know, being in the wedding dress mm-hmm. and just how he acted, like, it bothered people.
Fully go away.
It really did.
I think the tag match involving Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman was one of the highlights of my career.
I've got Phil Jackson calling me going, where's my guy at? Where's my guy at? I'm going to Rodman, and Phil Jackson keeps blowing up my phone. You got to go back. He goes, I don't want to go back. All the lines were blurred.
When you hit me with the diamond cutter, I said, thank God this
is over.
I don't think WCW like could even fully take advantage of it. They just kind of dropped the ball in a sense because it was so easy, you know? It was almost like an afterthought. It was like, guys, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's here. And then even after that, he wrestles Kurt Hennig on a show in Puerto Rico. Long after this, I have no idea why, but they threw money and I guess he thought it would have been fun.
That's crazy.
So he's my pick of just general weirdness.
Sure. Sure. I knew you wouldn't let us down. I knew it. There's a risk that when you bring less dedicated fans in, ostensibly from a business point of view, if you have a celebrity on your show, if you have a celebrity working a match, that celebrity is going to bring eyeballs and bring people who aren't familiar with your product that you're then hoping to retain. That's just basic. You're putting them in your marketing funnel, more or less.
Yes and no. This is difficult because, like Lindsay said, there's people who don't know, fans of Bad Bunny that didn't know he was on the show.
Right.
Like, talk about fragmented media landscape, and we always talk about the wrestling bubble.
Yeah.
It's hard to get people outside of it to come into it.
So I would have loved to have been in the meeting where they asked him if he would put it on his main grid, you know, because that's the reality of the conversation these days.
Sure.
It's like, well, you can be there. Can we main grid it? If we could, we'll take stories, but we would love main grid. And I would love to see Stephanie McMahon having that conversation. Like, it's just,
I genuinely
would pay money to be in the room.
I mean, with like Bad Bunny, it's like, oh, I'm not going to main grid it. What I'm going to do is train for like a bunch of months and then just do a bunch of suicidos and then just figure that out.
I'm going to see if he did main grid it because how could you not?
Business wise, if I was his manager, he did a disservice to himself by revealing that he was a fan.
Ha.
Just like when you go to like a flea market and you see something you really want, you can't make an excited face.
Sure.
Yep.
Yes.
You have to neg wrestling.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Bad Bunny did not main grid, or is not currently main gridded, because he only has 5 posts because he's very cool.
Wow.
He's very cool.
He's a conceptual Instagram poster.
It's not even like a clean that he's filled the screen. It's literally just 5 posts.
Oh,
it makes me very uncomfortable as someone who likes to see a nice even number of things. I don't like this, but that's how cool he is. And that's why none of his fans knew he was on WrestleMania.
Lindsay, it's jazz. It's the pictures he's not posting that you should be looking at.
I can't bear it. Yeah. I can't bear it. It's fine. I'm on something now. I'm dealing with it.
Well, here's another school of thought, which is that your hardcore wrestling fans might not be interested in a celebrity coming in because they want to see, you know, they might go, well, if Dennis Rodman, if Andy Kaufman, whoever's on the card, especially the modern smart fan, I hate using that term because I don't think it's true, but the modern fan is like, well, I like XYZ, and if this celebrity's on the card and the person who I like isn't on there, why are they taking up a spot? But it seems to me like people are just excited. I think it's almost validating as a fan to go, oh, this celebrity is coming in and being a part of the show that I watch. That means that it's cool or it's relevant or it's reaching somebody outside. I think there's an element of that as well.
Wrestling has an implied resentment from what they consider to be mainstream show business. Mm-hmm. And anytime that they can prove that wrong, even in their own way, they just love it. Oh, see, everyone likes us now. It's like, no, because this is largely violent and sometimes that turns people off. Can we accept that? Is that okay, finally?
But this one guy really does like us, so let's have him on the show. It's,
you know. But, I mean, they've had such, you know, big celebrities involved in wrestling. Does it fundamentally change anything the way WrestleMania 1 did? I don't think so. I think it's a nice stunt show thing where they need that. You know, you market yourself as that. What crazy thing are we going to see? I think sometimes the indies pushed bigger companies in that direction. Of just like this show is based on like, you know, almost intentionally bad booking. Based on it being crazy, you know?
Yeah. Well, now a celebrity at WrestleMania, for example, it's just an expectation. Like, oh, who are they getting this year? It's not you know, in 1985, the idea of Liberace and Mr. T, you know, all those people being on a show lent it like, oh, this is a huge deal. And people would know about it because they're going on the Tonight Show. They're hosting SNL. They're doing things at a time where there are fewer channels and fewer. We don't have the same fragmented media landscape.
Well, and you've got to assume it's limited because they don't have celebrity guests on Raw every week anymore. And if it was that successful and it pushed the needle that much, we would see the Muppets every single week, which I think would actually be fine.
I want an all Muppets WrestleMania. I've said this before. Right?
You know, they had Hugh Jackman on Raw that time. They had the Magic Mike guys, or they had a bunch of.
A-list was a host.
That guy was there that one time. Yeah. But it's like they had Jewel. Jewel was a guest GM or host on Raw. Remember when Jewel was on? And it was not that long ago.
Like, I'm old enough to remember William Shatner promoting Tech Wars on Raw, and Cy Sperling as well from the Hair Club for Men had like a whole angle with him and Howard Finkel where he was giving him hair.
That was WrestleMania 10. That was prime real estate.
That's right. Stars galore. Is there a celebrity that anybody can think of who has not yet appeared on a wrestling show or on a major televised wrestling show that you think would be either an interesting out of left field choice or someone like this would make a lot of sense? And I think that they would work really well in a ring. They would be more like a Bad Bunny or Logan Paul. I can't stand Logan Paul, but good Lord, did that guy know how to play the crowd. Like he came out like he had done it a million times, which he kind of has. It's kind of who he is. He didn't even have to turn it up.
That's called a natural born heel, right? Like that man came out of his, wherever he came out of. I don't like to cast aspersions, but I assume just getting heat from the doctors. Like no one has ever enjoyed that man's work. And the fact that he hasn't been put in a wrestling ring sooner is on all of us, honestly. Because he was naturally born to be in a scumbag. When he stood on the top of that rope and did his little shimmy before he did his splash, like, fuck that guy, but also more of this, please. Which is wrestling. So, yay.
So who would you like to see?
I don't know who. I don't know who, because I feel like that's part of the joy of it, right? That you don't know. It's always the people you least expect that end up being the most fun. I don't want to see anyone that's appeared in the critically acclaimed Stars Network show, Heels, appearing on wrestling because I know they like it. So I don't want to see that. Like, I want to see someone I just absolutely did not anticipate doing this. Just show up and boss it. Just absolutely kill it.
Bradley Cooper.
No, I'd take Gaga before I took Cooper.
Fair enough.
Take the entire cast of the House of Gucci before I took Bradley Cooper.
Jared Leto, but in character.
Which one? Any of them. All of them at once.
Yeah. No, House of Gucci specifically. Where it's like, it was, I'm not going to even get into it. I could go off on...
What's like nice about Jared Leto is you could get him to do a different character per segment, which would be nice.
The accent buffet that movie is, there's no two... It is like a full buffet. It's
beautiful.
It's just beautiful. So many different... Nobody's doing the same accent. And maybe that's the fun of it. RJ, is there somebody who you would love to see? Burt Convy? Is that...
I am very surprised that Vin Diesel has not been more involved. Mm. That was like a no-brainer to me. I don't know if they had some sort of falling out or something weird went on there. I don't think they got along. But I was just why? And it's one of those things where, like, if it happened and I completely, like, it makes so much sense to me that I thought maybe I did forget it.
Right.
Yeah.
But in terms of one that would be like really, really out of left field, I would perhaps have taken a Fran Lebowitz. I would like to have heard a heel promo. Sure. Would have been really interesting.
Nice. Yeah. Truly.
And that she would be managed by Martin Scorsese, who was basically like her Bobby Heenan. Yeah. Was just like, you're amazing. You're fantastic.
Because she could cut a promo on anywhere that's not New York and she would be incredible.
She does do it.
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah. When she's at the Y doing those Q and A's, and she shuffles off like Baba Yaga to like wherever her next. I love that she's instantly a heel with half of New York because she hates anybody who got there after 1980. Like they're not New Yorkers to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a bum set my hair on fire. That's New York. These people talk about New York. They don't know New York.
I'd love to see. I don't know that you can top that.
Ice Cube. I just want Ice Cube.
Oh, yeah. Ice Cube would be fun. Sure.
Well, what about Ice Cube versus Ice T? Because I love his work in SVU.
Or versus, because I know that I know O'Shea Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's kid who looks just like him but taller and light skinned, is actually a huge wrestling fan who tweets about it all the time.
Lest we forget that Ice-T was involved at WrestleMania 2000. He rapped the Godfather.
Oh, that's right. He did. He rapped into the ring with D-Lo. Pimpin' ain't easy, man.
Yep.
And he recently did that lovely, was it a laundry detergent commercial with Steve Austin? So he's got an in. He's got an in.
I forgot about Ice-T. And then the music.
Come back to us, Ice-T.
The music was, it was like the Arrowhead Arena in Anaheim. And you could hear the echo of the music, the track he was going to. So it sounded like he had no sense of what the, like, he was just rapping and then there was also music happening coincidentally and maybe they matched up. Yeah,
nor did he ever memorize the lyric. That was like a half day in the studio. Yeah.
Yeah. Pimpin' ain't easy.
The last thing he did before he went through the curtain is fold the check in half and put it in his pocket. And then out he went to wrap those guys to the ring in what was probably one of the last matches that they had as a tag team together. I feel like that didn't last. Mm-hmm.
And what, that's what broke
that
them
was
up.
It. Ice-T split them apart. We asked some of the Nation of Conversation for their takes on celebrities in wrestling, and Pat Bear on Twitter said he never entered the ring, but Wade Boggs appeared in a vignette for Mr. Perfect that was really great. They became lifelong friends, and Boggs inducted Hennig into the Hall of Fame. That's right, those great sports vignettes to introduce him, where he threw the touchdown pass to himself. That was like, he appeared in that, and then he appeared at the Hall of Fame. That was it, right?
And he told the story, like, Kurt Hennig saved my life once. We were fishing, and I was choking. Or there was some weird, like, I owe him my life.
Oh, Wade Boggs.
And they just used it as a vignette. It was crazy.
Yeah. Eric shouted out the time that Hugh Jackman punched Dolph Ziggler square in the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wolverine himself. The jaw. Mm-hmm.
And that was to promote Les Mis, right?
Yes, or the X-Men movie that came out at that time. Mm. But my favorite thing about it was that
I'm pretty sure is what it was for.
The week after that, when Ziggler complained about it, Triple H was like, look, I mean, if you want, I could surround you with security for next month when the Muppets are here. If you want, something like that. It's just a great, great Triple H line.
Yeah, we always invite you to keep this conversation going on all of our social media pages. But this week, we want to continue to emphasize how important it is to become a Max Fund member, or upgrade or boost at MaximumFun.org/join. One of the best parts about the drive is getting to hear from listeners even more than we usually do. So we got this really great message from Carrie about why she loves listening to Tights and Fights. Here it is.
Hello, my name is Carrie and I'm from Peoria, Illinois. I discovered Tights and Fights during the pandemic and listening to friends talk about something as silly and wonderful as wrestling every week has been an absolute joy for me. Not only do I love listening to the podcast, but I've made real actual friends with other members of the Nation of Conversation on social media. Shout out to my fellow wrestlebrarians, all of us who love wrestling and our librarians. Tights and Fights is so great, so wonderful. The thing I love about it most is its good-natured wholesomeness. There's no toxic masculinity allowed. There's no toxicity allowed, period. I love Tights and Fights because it's a community and a podcast that makes it really easy and enjoyable to be a lady wrestling fan. I think y'all are the bee's knees, and I'll keep listening as long as you keep recording.
We got the librarians!
I'm going to do a cry.
Books.
Oh, I'm going to do a cry. I also want a t-shirt now that says Lady Wrestling Fan. Like, I want that so badly. That was the most wonderful message. And I'm so pleased for everyone that... I'm so pleased for us, because we just got a lovely message. But I'm also... It makes me so happy as a fan to know that there is a safe space for people. And I'm so thankful to the MaxFun members that have donated and do donate and do contribute to the show that help us create this space and keep it going. Because it's all because of you guys. It really is all because of you.
You heard about all the great bonus audio you get as a member for all the MaxFun shows, including this one, of course. But there are actually physical gifts as well, which is a brand new Maximum Fun patch. These patches are insane. You get to choose which patch you want from all of the Max Fun shows. Ours
Hey, how? I'm sorry. If we could do something, I find like this is very important. But we have a special guest. If you could step out and bring him in.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Hey, everybody, it's me, Cookie Sean. Me love patches. Me like them better than pins, cause pins can stab and make me bleed. And me no like to bleed, but me love to win championship and then abandon it because me lose me smile. But you never lose your smile when you have new Max Fun badge. When you have new Tights and Fights badge with championship cookie belt on it. Mmm, cookie. Mmm, championship. Mmm, nom 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 nom. Mmm, oversell at SummerSlam 2005. Remember? Me go into corner, me flop all over the place. Mmm, nom 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 nom. Bye.
What happened? Who did
I
miss?
Oh, no, I can't believe you missed him. Cookie Sean was just here.
Well, oh, good. I hope you talked about the patches, because if you want to get your hands on a patch, you need to go to MaximumFun.org/join.
I mean, that beautiful sell from Cookie Sean. I can't imagine that you don't want one.
He knows how to sell.
It's his best thing. Sometimes he oversells. And he knows it. But I think that's what's nice, is that he knows it. My favorite thing about the patches is if you see them out on people, like, we can identify each other. But I look forward to us spotting each other via patch in future. But if you want to get your hands on that patch, all you have to do is go to MaximumFun.org/join, and all the information on how to become a member, how to upgrade, how to boost, how to become a brand new member, it's all there. And that will also tell you how to get your patch, how to get your bonus content, how to get your wrestle nickname, which I think is a big draw for a lot of people. No pressure, Julian.
We're not joking. Julian has a spreadsheet. When Julian is not getting them gains, he is literally crafting artisanal nicknames for all of us.
I'll just wake up in a fever dream and just grab my phone and my notes app and be like, okay, Shinsuke Takamura, that's brilliant. Okay.
See, this is what
like
happens.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, this is what happens when you exercise. Like, Julian's just going through his reps, and he's just like, he makes that, like, that's so Raven face, and suddenly he has all of these new adorable AKAs for everyone. It's amazing.
And that's also why I haven't had an idea for 2 years. Go to MaximumFun.org/join to set up your membership, to boost your membership, or upgrade your membership, or to gift a membership to someone who's not able to get one at this time. And as always, thank you to everyone who supports this show as a member and keeps the lights on for us. Thank you.
Dice and Bites Podcast. Dice and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk
and
David Arquette's assistant.
This week, we're going to end the show by sharing some of the joy of wrestling with you. This is the three count. RJ, you're first up. What would you like to put over?
I really enjoy FTR sowing their oats as good guys. I am a babyface, as you may or may not be aware, and they have consulted me on how to become baby faces. They're like, we're being cheered. What the hell do we do? So we have a nice little thread on Twitter of we traded baby face things you could do, like, you know, shaking your fists, nodding your head, that kind of thing. It helps so much. But it's so nice and so genuine to see really two generally unlikable people become likable simply because they're having great wrestling matches.
Yeah, I love it. Danielle?
So someone posted, not MJF, he was a part of a group called the Acapellas when he was in school. And so someone posted one of his performances.
Someday, when my life has passed me by, I'll look around and I wonder why you were always there for me.
They do that thing where, like, everyone is in the back, like, dancing while the person who's doing the solo goes up. And obviously, MJF has an amazing voice. Like, he's been doing this forever. He's done solos and stuff. He sounds great. It's really funny to watch this dude who's like probably 16, who looks like a grown ass man, a bunch of other kids who just look like regular 16-year-olds.
Lindsay?
That video gave me 21 Jump Street vibes. It did not give me
like, it was vibes. Super euphoria where
like,
I was like,
he's a knock. He's clearly a cop. For like, hello, fellow kids. Where would I get the drugs? Why, yes, I will join your a cappella group and get you through to nationals. That's not what I'm putting over. I'm putting over something that was purely joy and only gave me joy this week, and that was Danhausen cursing William Regal. I don't even feel like I need to explain that. That's all I need to say. And you should go and see the clip immediately because Danhausen got in the ring at the end of Dynamite this week to tell Blackpool Combat Club. Thankfully, they've realized Blackpool is one word, so I don't have to go down there and speak to someone. I can't do that. But I would have done something with a strongly worded letter delivered by hand. Blackpool Combat Club are in the ring. Danhausen gets in the ring, expresses how stylishly dressed everyone is, and asks Mr. Regal to give him his suit. And when Mr. Regal demurs, he is cursed. We see the curse live action. We see it happen. You see the results of the curse. It's wild, you guys. Don't go around getting cursed. Thankfully, pleased to report a happy ending. The curse is removed. And everyone's happy. Everyone is joyful. But Danhausen didn't get the suit, so... You know, I feel like he's got his own look and he doesn't need the suit. But it all worked out for the best in the end.
Awesome. I have two things. One is a photo I saw going around online of Elias and Ezekiel arm in arm with the subtitle, "Haters will say it's Photoshop, but we know the truth." And the other is one of my very best friends in the world, Jordan Crane. It is his birthday. He listens to this podcast. He and I have known each other for 22 years. And the basis of our friendship initially was that we were both big wrestling fans. So that is something that brought us together. He's like a brother to me. So I love you, Jordan. And happy birthday.
Kind of a cop out.
Yeah. That's like, what? What do you want? You want me to buy him a cameo from me? Hey.
Stick to the ring. He could buy mine.
There you go.
I'll be happy to speak to him for 7 minutes.
Hey, Jordan, I hear Hal tells me it's your birthday, that you like boats, and you did great on that test. Sure, I'm proud of you. Anyway, thanks for being a fan, and I got to go do 10 more of these.
And now here's Twilight Zone by the Manhattan Transfer.
That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk and Daniel Radford, along with me, Hal Lublin, RJ City. Thank you again for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
It was a delight and a hoot and a pip.
And people should be following you. Where should they go? Put it out there.
Google and type in my name and a bunch of things will come up. And some of them will probably, you'll be like, ah. And then other things you may enjoy. So then follow those.
Perfect. Our producer is scheduled for Pun Fall, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle's the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible. One more time, MaximumFun.org/join to become a member, to upgrade your membership or boost your membership for all sorts of amazing gifts and funsies, and to support our show and any other shows on this network that you love.
Yo, you're already saving because you canceled WWE Network. That's not around anymore. You can watch it on Peacock. And maybe you've even canceled Netflix. Sorry, Netflix, you fumbled the bag. So why not put that towards a show that you don't have to worry about being canceled in season 2, or we'll have a show. Why not put that money towards your contribution instead? MaximumFun.org/join to keep a show that you love going.
That's MaximumFun.org/join to keep the show going. We love you very, very, very much. And this is the best way to keep the lights on for the Nation of Conversation.
We'll be back next week for our second Max Fun Drive episode, which will include, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.